Spring means dawn. I had to Google it to be sure. And when I had to choose a verse of O Come Emmanuel to be the center of this homily, the notion of Christ coming as dawn appealed to me. 3 weeks ago, after the first Holden prayer service, I realized that Marty Hoggins' evening hymn pretty well said it, far better than I could. Still, I chose to press on with the task, and I'd like to start with three brief stories. For several years in my early 20s, I worked in the city of Boston. Most of the time, I loved it. The city offered museums, theaters, live music, great food, and exciting sports teams. Friends and I enjoyed all these diversions. There was boating on the Charles River, soccer games in the park, and islands in the harbor to explore in the summer. The only time I didn't enjoy it were the weeks around Christmas. The weather was cold and often unpleasant, but that was not the problem. The problem was the darkness. On work days, I would leave my house in the dark. I would ride a subway to work underground. I would cross the street to my office in shadowy morning light. If I was lucky, I'd get outside for a few minutes on my lunch break and see a weak winter sun. I would leave work for the day in full darkness. Even if I found time for outdoor activities on weekends and the weather was good enough, the sun would set shortly after 4 p.m. The dark quickly became depressing. A proverb says it's better to light a single candle than to curse the dark. I didn't really see the two strategies as mutually exclusive. Even January offered some hope. It might be colder and snowier, but at least there would be more light. The light was hope and healing. The light changes everything. Next, one of the most amazing worship services I ever experienced was on Easter Sunday, 2011. My family and I attended a sunrise service on the southern rim of the Grand Canyon. We arrived in darkness and freezing temperatures. The canyon spread before us appeared to be a vast empty void, a gaping emptiness in the surface of the earth. As worship progressed, the sun rose and cast its rays through broken scarlet sunrise clouds, illuminating beautiful formations in astonishing glowing colors below. Mysterious icy gloom rapidly transformed into a warm and glorious testament to creation. The light revealed a reality that had been hidden in the shadows of night. The light changes everything. And finally, once there was a man named George. George had been born to a simple working-class family, but through great effort and abundant talent, he became very successful at a young age. By the age of 26, he had become wealthy, famous, and even founded an innovative company with three of his closest friends. George expected running his own company to provide him creative freedom, but it often left him bogged down in business minutiae. George lived near London, England. In the early spring, after a particularly cold and bleak winter, he woke up to a warm, sunny day. He was scheduled to spend the day in meetings with accountants in his office. Instead, he skipped work and went to visit his best friend, Eric. Eric had a really nice backyard and a guitar. George sat in the sun and strummed Eric's guitar, and wrote the words that opened this homily, as well as the music that went with it. As you may have guessed, George's last name was Harrison. He was a founding member of the Beatles and Apple Records. His best friend was Eric Clapton. His reflection in a sunny garden after a winter of bad weather and long, dull meetings inspired him to create one of the Beatles' most iconic and uplifting songs. It was quite possibly the only Beatles song that my father ever liked. George Harrison wrote that song, sitting in the spring sun, because the light was inspirational and led George to be where he truly needed to be. The world would be slightly poorer if George Harrison met with his accountants that day. The light changes everything. The first act credited to God in the Bible is the creation of light, and he saw that it was good. The arrival of light signaled the beginning of the creation process. The light changed everything. Once the people of God had to atone for sin through sacrifice, Jesus came, and now our sins are forgiven through grace. Once the people of God longed for a mighty, militaristic Messiah to save them from worldly enemies, Jesus came as a Messiah of peace and love that was more powerful than the greatest empires that will ever exist. He taught us to love his enemies and forgive our rivals, not to dominate them. Once the people of God related to God through a strict adherence to the law of Moses, Jesus came and built a new covenant of grace and faith. He taught us we could relate to God directly, everywhere, at all times, not just through the priests in the temple. Once the people of God was limited to a small nation of people set apart from the world, Jesus came and invited all nations of the earth to be the people of God. Jesus is the light of the world, and the light changes everything. It is fitting each year we commemorate the time the people of God spent waiting for a Savior to change the world during the darkest time of the year. As our human selves, we yearn for the physical presence of the light of the sun in our lives. We recall the spiritual longing for a new covenant with God, a covenant where God reaches out to each of us through grace and love. We try to hold back the winter darkness with an array of candles, electric lights, and shiny ornaments worthy of Clark Griswold, but they pale in comparison to the light that did dawn some 2,000 years ago. Just at the time of year when the light gets stronger and the days get longer, we remember the coming of that Savior as a poor child rather than the mighty warrior we had expected. We remember the light of a star that called the Magi forth. We remember the shining glory of angels as they announced the gospel for the very first time. Jesus arrived in our world as the light, and the light changed everything. There is still much in our world that we ache to change. Every day we see violence, hate, oppression, inequality, false idols, and self-serving leaders who twist the truth to their own ends. We want to change all these things, but we don't know where to begin. Christ calls us to be a light in the world, so begin by embracing that role. Let the light of Christ shine through you, because the light changes everything. A light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. Amen.